The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
All right. Good morning and welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sear here with you on Thursday, December 15th, and we've got a big winter storm coming up, believe it or not. You might have heard about it, and we have exactly the right person and exactly the right time to talk about that. We have Ricardo Morales, the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities in the City of Pittsfield, here to talk all about it. The upcoming storm, the preparations for it, all kinds of helpful tips and tricks for you, and all kinds of other things to do with the department that he heads up, including water and trash and recycling and road work and bridge work, all kinds of different stuff. So we'll be talking about that today. But of course, the winter storm is on everyone's mind, so we'll get to that right away. First, we're going to take a listen to the weather forecast coming to us this morning from Jacob Klein. So, Jacob, take it away.
Berkshire weather. Here is your WTBR forecast from BerkshireWeather.com for Thursday, December 15th. Greetings. Today, mostly cloudy. A high of 36 with some flurries. Tonight, cloudy. A low of 32 with heavy snow. Tomorrow, cloudy. A high of 36 with heavy snow and rain. That's your latest WTBR forecast. For more weather forecast information, go to BerkshireWeather.com. I'm Jacob Klein for WTBR, and I hope you all have an amazing day. Cheers, everyone.
All right. Cheers to you, Jacob, as well. And from what we were looking at just before we went on air for the weather forecast, it sounds like Jacob's got it just about right. Maybe some flurries today during the day, some heavy snow tonight, and potentially some heavy snow and rain tomorrow. So, Ricardo Morales, welcome to the program.
Sean, thanks for having me here. It's very opportune to be talking about this today. End of last week, we were all thinking that today was going to be the big snow event to start off the season, and it wasn't like that. It was Sunday. Yeah. Sunday was supposed to be a small one, and as we all know, after 8 inches and 10 inches of snow, some places.
It just didn't stop.
It took us by surprise, yes.
Yeah, it was, I guess, what they call an outperformer.
Yeah.
You expected the first blush of the forecast on that one last week was 1 to 3 inches, and everybody said, we can handle one to 3 inches.
Right.
And then when it starts snowing at 9:30 in the morning and just doesn't stop all day long, you know that
half inch.
You got something different, right?
Half an inch per hour we were getting.
Yeah?
I mean, listen, I got to give kudos to our teams, highway crews, traffic division crews, parks, garage. They all stepped up, as they do always, even and despite having very, let's say, wrong information from the forecasts.
Well, and again, that's living in New England. It kind of surprises you sometimes, but you can generally predict at least a certain amount a fairly close time before the storm actually starts, right? Yep. I mean, you can generally feel like you get some pretty accurate information only hours before you have to jump into action. And this time, not so much.
Oh, no. This time, even hours before, it was still showing, not more than 4 inches.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And I would imagine, too, the first snowstorm of the year for any crew, you sort of have to get back into get the muscle memory going, right?
Yeah.
You have to remember all the things you did last year because you kind of tucked that away in your brain for a while, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, we got to get back into this again.
Here we go. In many ways, that's true. We although we have been talking, snow preparations for more than a month now, so even before winter weather sets, we are talking about how to be ready for that. So. We were ready. It just took us by surprise the amount of snow.
Yeah, and we had kind of a warm fall and a warm November in some ways too. So you know, you get used to that. I remember that just a couple days ago, the first time I really felt that sting of the cold on my face, and I said, "Gee, I haven't felt that in a while." You know, when it drops down after a while. By the time you get to January, February, it's old hat. But that first time it comes through, it feels pretty cold. So here we are in the winter storm season for sure. And you're expecting this one now to be a big one, and it looks like it's going to be pretty significant, right? Although several factors can change that. You know, how do you prepare for a storm like this, knowing that, you know, a degree or two of temperature one way or the other is going to change the kinds of things that you need to prepare for?
Right. So we're expecting a full day of snow, at least on Friday, starting today around 5-6 at night. We're going to get snow. We're going to be getting somewhere anywhere between half inch to an inch an hour. So it's going to be significant to keep up with the work on the streets and, you know, sidewalks that we maintain and parks and schools. So to be able to keep up with that, we get ready. We have our crews separated into shifts, and they take care of their own, you know, their own routes. We have the contractors ready to go. We have 31 contractors, contractor zones. We have
31. So there's different 31 different, and they have sort of their own mapped out routes. They know exactly what they have to plow.
Those are the zones. We have more than 31 contractors we rely on. We sometimes put doubled up, you know, contractors in a zone. So this year we have, depending on how you look at it in terms of paperwork and all set and done, we have around 40 contractors signed up. Some we're still waiting on, you know, finalizing those final documents to be able to plow set plates on the road for the city.
Got to get that ink dry pretty quick.
But yeah, we have around 40 contractors, and you know, we deployed them last Sunday into Monday. We're going to do the same today. It's going to be taxating. It's going to be a long, drawn out event on all the way till Sunday or Saturday morning, so we're in it for the long haul right now. This time, different things that we're gonna see that we didn't implement over the weekend for the prior events, you know, include parking ban. You know, that comes in the form of a snow emergency. We're gonna be declaring that later on today, and what that does, it'll start at 7 p.m. today, and because actually I haven't prepped the language, but what is it today? 15th.
Yes.
So an odd day, you can park on the odd side of the street.
Okay.
Starting at 7 p.m. and all the way till tomorrow at 7 p.m. when at that point you can switch to the other side of the street, the even side of the street.
So and 7 p.m. is the switching time.
Yes.
You remember that every single day. Whatever, is it odd or is it even, that's the side of the street you're parking on starting at 7 p.m. on that day.
Yeah. So what that'll help us with, doing two things. I've said this before. The alternate side parking regulation for snow, winter weather, it's very important. It keeps parking available on the street for people that need it.
Yep.
We have dense neighborhoods that rely on street parking. And the other thing that it does is it organizes that parking for a snow event. So we can take care of one side and then take care of the other side the next 24 hours.
Right. So it actually keeps those parts of the street clearer than it would if you had people parking on all of them. And it's probably more convenient for people than having to find a place for their car, which can be very stressful in a lot of ways, right? For some of the denser neighborhoods that are in Pittsfield, it's tough to find the spots for your car.
Absolutely. And it has always been a problem to get your, you know, a space for your vehicle. And with this, it's a solution that treats parking across the city equitably.
So, and this is something that we didn't have until a couple of years ago. I don't know if it was something that had historically been in place in Pittsfield. And, of course, it's used in other communities as well. We hear about it a lot in Albany and places like that. New York City certainly has it. But Pittsfield really didn't have something like that up until recently.
Right? And that's why I said the word equitably treating parking during winter months. Mm-hmm. It's before our system was not in that sense equitable because mm-hmm. we just banned on-street parking mm-hmm. throughout winter, mm-hmm. overnight parking. Which really puts a burden on those that do not have a place to play to park their vehicle.
Yep.
So now we have that ability, and we treat it on a case by case. Mm-hmm. There's a snowstorm. Let's mix in and organize parking to better serve the city.
Yep.
So we will be towing if there's vehicles in violation of that rule.
Pretty much have to at that point, right? Yeah. Because you have to get that side clear, and it's going to be obvious after 7 p.m.
Yes.
If a side of the road is not clear and needs to be plowed, that's the time that the tow truck's going to come.
So. Right, right. And, you know, another thing that we will be definitely have police details. They're going to be helping us, mm-hmm. knocking on people's doors if they mm-hmm. see a vehicle on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. We're not going to immediately tow.
Yeah.
We're going to try and move that vehicle first.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yes.
I'm sure people will appreciate that. And sometimes, you know, life gets busy and you just get hung up and don't think about it. And I assume for something like this that's fairly new to people in the area, maybe they're not used to the idea that is it an odd day? Is it an even day? Is there a snow emergency? Isn't there? And that's, you know, one of the things we're trying to get out there this morning, make sure people know this is coming. 7 p.m. we're going to start tonight, and everybody knows the storm is coming. So, you know, this is fairly new policy, but remember, it's really mainly to keep the wheels turning and the trains running on time, essentially, right?
Yeah. Another thing we started last winter is the hotline, winter hotline. We're going to have information on the event and on the parking regulations. Hmm. So pretty much the message we'll send out through Code Red,
okay.
we'll have it also pre-recorded in the winter hotline. And numbers, the number to call for that is the 413-449-5544.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. I don't think I've known that before. So
yeah, it's our second winter doing it, and we were really only applying it for notorious events.
Yep. So this is an automated line. Basically, anyone can call it. Again,
413-449-5544.
Okay. And that will give you updated information on the storm, parking, other things that you need to know.
Yes.
Great. That's great. Now, Ricardo Morales, the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities, City of Pittsfield, here with us on Morning Drive this morning. On a storm like this, it's going to start later on today. What is, do you think, the most dangerous time for drivers and other people that are using the streets? Is it right when the snow starts? Is it when it's its heaviest? Is it when it's winding down and people are sort of feeling comfortable again to get out? What can be the worst time to be out on the streets?
I think the worst time has nothing to do with the, or very little to do with the conditions on the road, and more to how, you know, with how many vehicles are on the road.
Okay.
So if you can picture it, if you're driving under a blizzard, you can still drive, let's call it, right? If you can't drive, that's different.
Yeah.
If the conditions are such that you cannot move your vehicle, that's different.
Yeah.
But if you can still drive your vehicle, if it's just you and a few other vehicles, it's going to be pretty safe. You mm-hmm. can, you know, move around safely without the fear of being hit by a vehicle or hitting another one. That quickly snowfalls into, or snowballs into,
into, so to speak.
Yes, yeah. Into a completely different scenario if, you know, the more vehicles you have on the road. Mm-hmm. So traffic peak hour is going to be where I expect to be the most inclement time to be driving around.
So basically, if the storm is really peaking around 7, 8, 9 in the morning or 4, 5, 6 p.m. in the evening, and you got a whole bunch of vehicles out there all trying to get to the same place, and you got snow plows that are also there trying to clear things, that's probably the most difficult time.
Difficult driving conditions, yeah. It's definitely complicates the situation.
Yeah. And what about, should people sort of, you know, delay their travel or think about canceling their travel if conditions change you know, in a way that they didn't expect, like it did happen last weekend. And I know it's hard to change your plans. Right. You know, you make plans and you know, and you sort of keep an eye on the sky and you say, okay, I don't, you know, this could change depending on what's going on. But, you know, at what point do you say, well, it just doesn't look right out there. I think I'm going to cancel for tonight.
I think just pay attention to the forecast. Mm. You know, the weather channels, the apps on your phone, on the computer. Pay attention to that because it'll give you, you know, in the moment information that you might not be seeing maybe where you're going or where you're passing through. Mm. That's if you're traveling far, that's important to know.
Yeah. Yeah, especially now with this. This is a big storm, too. It's not just like, you know, for the Northeast.
Right.
Anyone who's been watching it this week, it's been pretty much traveling across the country and wreaking havoc as it goes along. So if you're making a long trip and this is the holiday season, so maybe you're doing that, you know, just keep an eye out for where this thing's coming from, too.
It's already grounding flights and stuff like that. So it is definitely impacting travel, the long form travel.
Yeah. So for this particular storm, what types of treatments do you see being necessary? Because every one of these is a little different, right? It depends on, you can tell us how much snow or whether there's ice mixed in or whether there's rain or, you know, is it a salty kind of a treatment? Is it a lot of plowing? Is it sanding? What do you expect
to have? Yeah, this is definitely going to be a heavy plow event.
Okay.
We are expecting some rain mixed in with the snow sometime midday tomorrow. Hmm. So at the moment, we're not sure what that'll be on the road, how that will reflect on the road. But our goal is to maintain roads clear, you know, contractors dealing with the neighborhood streets, and you know, our own crews maintaining access through the main routes that people mostly travel through. We'll see what the water, you know, if there's some mixed rain. Mm. The most critical part, I think, will be tomorrow afternoon. Sun comes down. Mm. Rain was on the road. Mm-hmm. Freezing temperatures are going to start setting in. That's when icy conditions form. Mm. So,
and it has been colder recently too, right? That cold snap that came through has been pretty consistent. So. You can almost expect that if there is the higher moisture, you're going to feel some freezing.
So I fully expect that tomorrow afternoon after sunset, we're going to have to be doing some hot mix type treating. Sand. We call it a hot mix. Hmm. Sand and mixed with some other, you know, melting component to create some traction on the road because we're going to face some slippery conditions.
Yeah. And, you know, I assume you probably want to, you know, use that judiciously as much as you can, right? But it just has to get done.
Right.
It has to, you have to meet the conditions as they are on the roads. Right. What different types of conditions do the contractors face versus the bigger city plows when they're working on sort of the main thoroughfares? And I know obviously that the big roads will get done first because those are the most critical. You need to open those up before you can get to some of the smaller secondary byways or whatever you want to call them, small residential roads.
Right.
But they probably run into different situations, right? Because you've got smaller roads in some cases, tougher places to turn around and plow. You know, what are the challenges?
Yeah, no, you just mentioned one of the biggest challenges is the turning around and where to put the snow.
Yeah,
it's the two things that we face a lot in the, you know, neighborhood streets that contractors need to deal with. You know, we get a lot of calls because of that. We get the type of call, hey, the contractor put the snow in the wrong spot. It's like, well, we'll figure it out for the next one.
Yeah.
And you know, we apologize. Mm-hmm. Some things we know of, some areas where we have gotten that type of call already, and we already, you know, we tell the contractor how to do that street.
It probably has to do with familiarity with the street as well, too, right? Like, I assume you have a lot of the same contractors from year to year, well, but you probably get some new ones.
We did get a lot of new contractors this year. If you can recall, last year there was a shortage of contractors.
Right.
This year, we don't have that shortage, but we do have new contractors in a higher rate than we did last year.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a learning curve, and I ask that people be patient. We do ask... We start getting calls like an hour or two right after snow started and some accumulation on the road. And you know, we sometimes we talk with the caller and we say, you should understand that we're currently out there treating. Like, we cannot be – we don't have a contractor per street. We have a contractor for a zone, and we treat that whole zone and snow plow it. Mm-hmm. So it'll take time.
Yeah.
We ask that you give us that ample time to be able to do the work. And – 3 hours isn't enough sometimes. 4 hours isn't enough. 6 hours, you start cutting it into what typically a zone can be covered with the, 8 inches of snow.
Yeah, wow. I mean, think about that, too. I mean, it's give the plow drivers a little credit. It's a hard job.
We have.
They're out there all night long in a lot of ways. Yeah. And like you said, 3 or 4 hours to do one pass, essentially. And guess what? If it's still snowing heavy, 1-2 inches an hour, they're back at the beginning again trying to keep up with it.
That's how it goes. Five, half inch to an inch of snow per hour. It's going to be a constant go around, and it won't look like you're doing much.
Yeah.
but in reality, you're keeping that low and helping in the long run.
Probably overnight isn't a huge impact because, again, like you said before, there aren't as many cars on the road. So you don't have to deal with the sort of, the congestion and the danger of someone, sort of being out of control or being able to come into some hit another car, for example. And there's a lot when you got more vehicles, you have more chances for incidents to happen,
right?
And that would sort of lead me to my next question, which is kind of a common sense question, right? But when it starts snowing in the Berkshires, you need to drive a little differently. You need to remember from last year that you need to give yourself a little bit more room, in front of the car in front of you, and you have to sort of start braking a little earlier and almost, predict that something could not go the way you think it's going to go. It's not going to be as predictable as driving on a dry road.
Drive a little bit more defensively,
anticipating
movements and being predictable. Mm-hmm. I think those are the key things to driving in winter conditions. Yep. Definitely.
And you still have to keep in mind pedestrians are still on the road.
Absolutely.
I assume there's still some bicyclists on the road. Not as many, but there are some.
Absolutely are. I'm going to call myself out. I am one of those bicyclists that will continue to use my bike as much as I can through the winter. Some people,
That's brave. I don't know if I would do that.
I have a vehicle, right? Yeah. I can decide it every morning if I want to go on my bicycle or my car. Mm. A lot of people don't have that luxury, right? And that's why we need to create spaces for them to safely travel through and commute.
Yep.
And I see it. Sunday night, I was driving around, checking the work as we were doing it, to a couple that I know who they are because I've seen them riding their bicycles around and constantly. They were traveling during the snowstorm. Mm. And they were probably getting home from work or something like that, it is not as common as other places maybe, but it is definitely a mode of transportation that is present in the Berkshires.
So if you're driving, keep an eye out for both pedestrians and bicyclists. Is it difficult to keep up with the sort of the lanes that the bikes and the pedestrians use? Obviously, pedestrians should be on sidewalks, but bicyclists use bike lanes and they use the shoulder of the road. And sometimes in heavy storms, those are difficult to keep clear, right? So
yeah, our main goal is to maintain the street curb to curb, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes, as you said, it is difficult to keep up with the pace, and so the driver prioritizes the travel lane.
Mm-hmm.
The snowplow driver prioritizes the driving lane, and that shoulder nearest to the curb is where the bike lane is typically. I'll say that most of the work that we do already takes care of the bike lanes. The only thing that we need to do differently is right on North Street, where you have the separated by a buffer with the flexible posts. Mm-hmm. That section, it's a small, you know, section between the around the A Mart and Berkshire Hospital, where you have to we have to go into the specifically into the bike lane with our equipment to get snow out of there.
Do you have special equipment to do that, or is it just a regular snow plow? And what do you do with those?
So believe it or
plastic
not,
things?
we can actually fit a whole pickup truck there.
Oh, okay.
But we do have trackless equipment that we use. We use that for many applications. Mm-hmm. You know, bridge sidewalks. Some of our sidewalks we deal with that, and we employ that in the bike lanes as well.
Mm. It seems to be working. You know, been a lot of questions in the last couple of years over, you know, some changes that have come to North Street and how that works in the winter. And people, I think, sometimes just can't imagine it until they actually see it. And same thing with Roundabout. I know we want to talk about that.
Yes, yes. But just last thing I'll say on bike lanes and North Street and all that. The number one issue with maintaining snow out of the street on a place like North Street and in the downtown area is parking. It's really, bike lanes don't impact in that way. It's parking is being able to keep the vehicles out so that we can plow.
Yeah. And obviously during the holiday season, parking is free, I think. Certain times, Friday. Okay,
yeah.
I probably shouldn't speak out of turn on that.
No,
I don't know the details.
Fridays.
I know there's some special changes to parking during the holiday season, but that must be an added difficulty, right? Because now you might have people staying in the spots longer than they would if the cars had to turn over more.
As long as people follow the parking regulation that we'll put in place, that's going to help us tremendously. Right.
What is the odd and the even side of North Street? I have to think about that now.
So it's easy for me because I'm on 100 North Street.
Okay.
That's where DPW offices are. So the east side of North Street is the even side.
Okay. So 100 North Street being the big old agricultural bank building, the one with the big white columns.
Yes.
So that's the even side of North Street. So remember, right?
Yep.
Even side. Odd side's the other side.
Yes.
Good to know. All right, we're speaking with Ricardo Morales here on 89.7 WTBR FM's Morning Drive, and he is, of course, the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities in the city of Pittsfield, and we're talking about preparations for this upcoming storm that everybody knows about now, and Ricardo has told us that there will be a snow emergency issued. You'll be getting that in a code red, I'm sure, a little later in the day. And there is a hotline. Let's remind them of the phone hotline again, because that's an easy way to find that information if you're interested.
413-449-5544.
Great. And we're talking about, of course, the parking restrictions and how it's an odd even thing. And today is the 15th. It's an odd day. So at 7 p.m. tonight, you will need to move your car to an odd side of the street. And that will be for a 24-hour period. So we'll remind people that a few times. You know, obviously people come in and out of our radio show as they're making their way to work and school and things like that. So we want to make sure that we get as much information as we can. So again, we've got a big snowstorm coming up. Sand piles are available throughout the city. And where can people find those?
Yeah, we have...
And those are free. The residents can come and take a bucket of sand for their own use, right?
Right. We have four locations. We have a new location this year that we didn't have before. That's at the intersection of Tyler Street Extension and New York Ave.
Yeah. I see that one going home. That's good for that area.
So, yeah, we didn't really cover any, we didn't have one that covered that northeast area of the city. Hmm. Councillor Warren requested something for that corner of the city. So we worked together to locate one around that spot.
Great.
The other three are the same ones we had last year. We have one by the highway yard covering that section of the city.
And that's on West Housatonic Street.
On West Housatonic Street, 232 West Housatonic, near Clapp Park, right in front of Clapp Park. We have one on Pex Road by the fire station where the tower is, the training tower.
Yeah.
And then the third one is on Root Place off of Elm Street, towards the back side of that parking lot on Elm Street.
Hmm. So anyone who needs sand for their sidewalks and their driveways and walkways, that's the place that you can get that. Bring, and it's a, what, 1 5-gallon pail, generally speaking. It's an honor system.
Yes, it is an honor
Please
system.
Please don't take all the sand.
Right, don't go in there with a pickup truck and fill your I think we live with people that are honest around here.
Yeah.
And they usually people are usually honest. So we haven't had any issues in that way. The one we can police the most is the one on our yard.
Sure.
But we do move it around and we ask people to police themselves, right?
Right.
Don't let us know. I'll put this out there. Let us know if you see someone grabbing more than what they should.
Yeah. I've seen the pile on New York Ave at the corner of Tyler, and it does get used. I've seen people going there with their bucket and filling it up. So it's good. It's good to see, that people understand that, and it's available and probably a safe thing to do too. Make sure that, you know, if you do need sand for things, it's going to help you avoid slipping and falling, which I would imagine is probably a very, dangerous thing in the winter. You're not prepared for it again. It's the first time of the year, and you don't realize you have to walk differently, just like you have to drive differently.
Right. I wanna just got a text from fellow counselor asking a very good question.
All right. We'll take calls. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it can be confusing. I understand it can be confusing, the parking regulation. Mm. Starting today on an odd day, starting at 7 p.m. for the next 24 hours, it necessarily means that tomorrow, being an even day, you'll have to park on an odd side of the street. But because it started today on an odd day, that's how the regulation is written into the ordinance. Mm. It starts on an odd day. The next 24 hours, you park on the odd day.
So the key to remember, of course, is
when it starts.
At 7 p.m., whatever day that is, that's where you're moving your car.
And that's
so
for this
an odd
storm.
Day at 7 p.m., you're moving it to the odd side.
Yes. It might be less confusing if the storm was starting earlier.
Yeah.
Because we would start it at 7 a.m.
Mm, okay. That's right.
Right.
And that's part of the ordinance too, right?
Yes.
It always starts at a
7 a.m. or a 7 p.m.
Yeah. And since this one hasn't started yet,
it's
starting this evening, that's when the emergency will
correct.
Begin. Well, it's fascinating. It's good to get this information out there for people. So I hope people are listening and taking notes. And, after a while, it will become pretty common for you to remember. But, we try to repeat that as much as possible. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take that normal top of the hour break that we always do. And we will say thank you to our underwriters and do our little station identification. And we'll be right back with Ricardo Morales right after this. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Oh, yes! 89.7 WTBRFM Pittsfield.
The community is invited to attend the annual Kwanzaa celebration hosted by the Women of Color Giving Circle of the Berkshires at 6 p.m. Thursday, December 29th. The event, which will be held at 741 Tyler Street, will feature dynamic speakers Amy D. Griffin, Esquire, and Kiana West, a thrilling musical performance by Christine Bile, and an original skit performed by Rites of Passage and Empowerment Scholars. For more information, please contact Shirley Edgerton at 413-496-4602.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Hi, this is Josh Cutler. On behalf of the Jewish community of Berkshire County, I'd like to wish all listeners of WTBR-FM a happy and joyous Hanukkah season. This year promises to be one with many exciting community celebrations. May this Festival of Lights be one that is filled with family, friends, great food, and great spirit. L'chaim.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from County Ambulance, providing quality, professional, efficient medical care and medical transportation services to the citizens of Berkshire County. Online at countyamb.com.
If we're not preset number one on your radio, isn't it about time you moved us there?
Well, we're waiting.
We're the Berkshire's WTBR-FM.
And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Okay, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, and we will get back to our conversation with Ricardo Morales, the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities, in just a moment. Let's take a listen to Jacob Klein's weather forecast and see what's in store for us over the next few hours, and we know it's going to be a big one. Let's find out. Jacob, take it away.
Berkshire weather. Here is your WTBR forecast from BerkshireWeather.com for Thursday, December 15th. Greetings! Today, mostly cloudy, a high of 36 with some flurries. Tonight, cloudy, a low of 32 with heavy snow. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high of 36 with heavy snow and rain. That's your latest WTBR forecast. For more weather forecast and location, go to BerkshireWeather.com. I'm Jacob Klein for WTBR, and I hope you all have an amazing day. Cheers, everyone.
All right, cheers to you, Jacob. Thank you for that forecast. And we're coming back now to our interview with Ricardo Morales. Thanks again for being here this morning. Very appropriate timing. We have lots of questions, I'm sure, that come from the public, and we've talked about doing some of those in the future. Let's talk about the roundabout, because I know that came up before. How easy is it to plow the roundabout? I know a lot of people have had questions about that on social media.
I'll say this: it is different, but it is very much plowable. we have same or similar equipment that we used in other instances, you know, to clear bridges and sidewalks on our properties that we used for the crossings for pedestrians in the roundabout. We use our plows to go around on the road. And we also take care of the truck apron to, you know, it's the least the lowest priority in the plowing of a roundabout, but it is also part of the things we take care of. You know, I was around the roundabout a few times Sunday night, you know, around 9 at night, when it was supposed to stop snowing, and it was, you know, in good condition, you know, clear bare pavement, some snow on the truck apron. And, you know, speaking with the highway super, Vinny Barbarotta, he just, you know, it was essentially uneventful. He was just, we took care of it.
Good to know. And this is really the first winter that we're dealing with a roundabout in the city of Pittsfield.
Yes. And I'll say the other thing is, even when there's no, when the snow was falling at a rate where we weren't able to be at the roundabout immediately, cars were traveling through the roundabout with snow on the ground, on the road, in, you know, the very same way they did without snow. So just go slow. That's the deal there.
Right. And, of course, we're not the only community that's experiencing roundabouts for the first time this year. And I know the Eagle had an article recently about the roundabout in Great Barrington. It sounds like that gets a lot more social media discussion than the one in Pittsfield. And there were some incidents, apparently, since it's been built where people have driven straight through the roundabout, not completely sober.
I know. But people still seem to glance over the fact that the most complicated of those incidents, the three most complicated ones, that went right through the center of the roundabout.
Yeah.
They all had, some
impairment.
Alcohol in the system.
Yeah.
So this is a problem that is not really a problem of a roundabout. Yeah. It's a problem of driving under the influence of some... Right.
not plan A when you approach a roundabout. It's to go straight through. Not a good plan. Sidewalks. We've got a reminder for folks that they've got 24 hours to shovel their sidewalks after the snow event ends, right?
Yep.
And there's city council recently that there's going to be a new sort of fine structure to make sure that people aren't just getting sort of warning after warning after warning.
Right, right.
If they're, repeatedly not clearing the sidewalk, they really need to get going on that.
Yeah, I know. It's not under our department, the fining system and evaluating of the sidewalks. It is under the health department, but we collaborate obviously, and they can issue some fines to us if we don't take care of some of our
the city owned sidewalks.
We are also in the hook, and I'm very much aware of the sidewalks that we need to take care of and provide some accessible routes for pedestrians to walk around safely.
Yep.
And
it is a safety issue, right? Because
absolutely.
If the sidewalks aren't clear, people are switching back and forth between the road and the sidewalk and the road, and now you've got traffic coming, and it's just a dangerous situation.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's keep those sidewalks clear for sure. So I that's a lot about snow, and I can't. Do you have any other items on that?
Listen,
before we move on to upcoming
projects? Before we move on other things on the snow discussion, we're going to be posting some useful information about snow in Pittsfield. How to tips on how to shovel, some more information on parking regulations, when we call, what do we consider. What factors we consider to call a snow emergency and parking regulations, and also other things you can do to help with the city, like clearing around hydrants, fire hydrants. Keep 3 or so feet around a fire hydrant clear, and all the way to the road. You would never know when that fire hydrant might be needed.
Right, right.
So,
and if it's in your yard, you're the primary, right? You're the person that really should take care of it. But you know what? If you've got an elderly folks that live on the property where the fire hydrant is located, if you're across the street and you see that they're not doing it, just go and do it. Same thing with the storm drains, right? It's important, depending on
that will help you.
What happens, right? There's probably still some leaves in those drains that got snow covered last weekend that we only find out about when we end up getting some rain. That clogs everything up with slush.
We try to keep up with streak sweeping, and we do it in the fall, so it we shouldn't have many instances like that.
Yeah.
But we definitely have some that we'll learn when it's a problem.
Yeah.
And keep it open when snow melts. That's when it can start ponding and damming.
Yeah.
Ramps around the sidewalks for pedestrians. Keep those clear in your neighborhood. Stuff like that.
Yep. All good advice. And so we'll be eagerly awaiting some of that information to come out. And of course, we'll broadcast that here on PCTV and WTBR as we get that for sure. So 2023 is almost upon us. We've only got a couple weeks left of this last year. And I'm sure that this is, it's almost like your hot stove time period, right? Like in baseball when they're trading players, probably not exactly like that.
Well,
but you're busy making plans for 2023.
In different parts of our department, that's applicable and others are not. Highway and traffic, we're very busy dealing with snow events and all that.
Sure.
On the engineering side of things, we're now starting to plan out the work for the new year. So yes, in that sense, this is when we start our planning work and setting our ducks in a row to be able to execute the plans. One of the things we got going on is finishing up the road work that we started this year. We still have to finish some of that. Very minor work on some streets. We need to finish the sidewalk project that we started. That's going to, you know, spill over to next year.
And that's throughout the city, sidewalk project?
Throughout the city, three general areas. The Morningside area around Morningside Community School, Conti School around the West Side neighborhood, some of the sidewalks around there, and then around Pittsfield High. So focusing on routes that kids and students walk to get to school. Those were the priorities we set. We're using ARPA funds for that. Most of the work is through ARPA funded source, and because of that, we dedicated our, you know, money into the qualified census tract neighborhoods where it was pretty much pre-approved use of the funds.
Well, and again, you get some of those areas where so many kids are in and around. And as we know, we remember being kids. We're not always paying attention to what's going on in the road or what cars are coming or where to cross streets and things. So you really need to make that perfectly clear. Make the sidewalks, you know, and the bump outs and the crosswalks, and everything has to sort of be obvious so that you know exactly what to follow.
Yeah, you know, we're putting out we're working on a survey. Our city engineer started working with his staff on creating the survey to map out, based on an answer from students, parents, teachers, map out which crosswalks are mostly used in the city for students, specifically students. And with that information, that's going to be posted out, you know, in the next, that's one of the winter projects. With that information, we're going to be able to prioritize any improvements to those crosswalks. The most used crosswalks will be higher on the list to be improved. And, you know, we look at improvements that are things Pittsfield residents have seen already with my time here. It's, you know, creating a safer condition for pedestrians, for the most vulnerable, creating, that means shortening the distance that kids or pedestrians need to, you know, cross and be on the road. Reduce the speeding of drivers through the crosswalk, increasing visibility as you approach the crosswalk, those things. So, you know, bump outs, shortening of the road and stuff like that.
How about
keeping the most vulnerable safe?
Yeah. For crosswalks, what do you have any plans for things like the notification signs, the LED, the blinking yellow? And that maybe pedestrians can also signal or trigger when they're about to cross crosswalks. And we've seen some of those in the city of Pittsfield. Are there plans for doing more of those in certain areas?
Yes. So that's part of what I'm saying is these traffic calming measures have to do sometimes with just simple signage and increased awareness and visibility. But other times it has to do with changing the geometric design of the of the intersection of a road with a crosswalk.
Yeah. I think sometimes people will kind of get lulled into a sense of I don't even know what it is, routine or normalcy or something. When you're driving down a road and you see a crosswalk and you see the yellow, you know, sign saying crosswalk here.
Yeah.
And yet it's normal just to drive right through it because there's almost never anyone there waiting.
Until there is.
And then you're driving through and you catch it as you drive through and you see someone there and you're like, oh, I missed that. I didn't see that person.
So this the book Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, you know, points that out in a methodological way where your brain thinks fast, fast action. Sometimes that's when you're doing things that you're not really thinking
by
and stopping.
Rote, essentially.
You're doing things as you get to some place and it's like, how did I even get here? I don't remember driving to the parking lot of, you know, Home Depot.
I don't remember driving straight through the roundabout. Oh, no, different story.
Yeah. So that's when your brain was on autopilot, essentially. And when we do, you know, think slow, that's the other side. When you're actively thinking of all the things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when we're driving is very much a fast thinking operation.
Well, there's a section up in, if anyone's driven through Williams College on Route 2 up in North Adams, in Williamstown, there's a section where there are multiple crosswalks. And of course, it's a college, right? It's a college campus, and you've got stuff on both sides, and you've got an active, you know, group of students that are that are crossing all the time. And so, you know, your senses are on heightened alert as you're driving through there. As soon as you get to the first one, you see that yellow yield sign flashing. You say, uh-oh, something's up here. And then now you're really looking, every one of those.
Despite all that, it's still a dangerous
crossing,
multiple crossings. I worked in Williamstown for a few years, and very much tricky set of crosswalks to go through.
And it is a state road. It's Route 2.
Yes.
So, you know, that increases the amount of traffic that's already there. So you have to sort of, I would imagine, train drivers to start thinking once you get into that area, you're going to have to be stopping and looking all the time.
Right.
Yep. Other projects, Tyler Street. How's that going?
So that's another one that we're going to resume next year. We have sidewalks pretty much all the way to Cherry Street. On one side at least. On the other side, I think we're by Pine, Pine Street. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to, you know, finish that next year in the spring. And right after that, we're going to end up, you know, finish with the resurfacing of the road and all the line painting. We're going to finish. You might have gone through Tyler Street already and seen that there's, you know, some good lighting on half of it, the closest half to the roundabout.
Right.
And that's that same treatment is going to happen on the western side of the project. Mm.
That's a big improvement, and, for sure.
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen this in paper for 3 years now, and it isn't until it's you know... physical and installed when you say, well, this really looks nice.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to visualize.
Yes.
And I suppose that's the job of you and your department, your engineers, folks that can see it before it actually gets done. They see it on paper and they can imagine what it's going to look like. But yeah, that's certainly one of those major corridors in the city that had needed an improvement for quite a while. The lighting, certainly, the you know, the bump outs and the and being able to calm the traffic. Bike lane, is there going to be a bike lane on
There's
Tyler Street?
Definitely going to be a bike lane. We're going to have bicycle boxes, two-stage turn boxes for helping bicyclists navigate intersections with vehicles on them. You know, we're going to have a raised intersection in front of the old Hess station.
A raised intersection.
Okay. It's going to slow drivers down. It's going to be at the, you know, crossing the intersection. It's going to be at the, for pedestrians.
Okay.
It's going to be at the level of the sidewalk. For a vehicle crossing the intersection, you have to go up and then down after you're past the intersection.
Okay.
It's a T intersection. The idea there, you know, we have plans for that old Hess station. It's our property now, the city's property. We're cleaning it. We're, you know, demoing it soon. And soon after that, we're going to be, you know, we're finalizing designs for a small park there.
That'll be very nice. And I know we know that property fairly well because PCTV always uses that property to broadcast the Halloween parade.
I'm sure you'll still be able to use it if, you know, when after we're done with it, it's going to be an open space.
That's nice. That'll work really nice.
Yes.
And, you know, just the overall improvement in that neighborhood, I would imagine, is going to be, you know, a big improvement. So then you turn the corner and you're heading up toward North Street, and that's another project that's been in design for a while, and they're reaching some milestones with that. That's I'm talking about the one that the much larger project in a lot of ways, and a state involved project as well, with the intersection between Berkshire Health Systems and North Street. You can talk about that a
little. We are inching our way into having that project be a reality. We had our 25% design meeting earlier this year, and we're now into the 75%, and soon after that is going to be the 100% next year. Design and, you know, plan, specs, and estimates going to be ready. That's called the PS&E.
Okay.
So PS&E is going to be ready next year, and we're going to start working on with the transportation improvement plan with the regional planning of transportation projects. We're going to start putting that in the for funding. I mean, it is scheduled already, so it is one of the it's the highest priority right now.
Hmm. Now, is that a city project or a state project?
It's both. It's a combined. So the city's doing all the design. The state is doing the work through the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Plan, and it's receiving federal and state funding for construction.
Okay. So great. And you expect that there will probably be a roundabout involved with that, but is that for sure now?
Yes. It is going to have a roundabout at the intersection of the North Street and First Street. And right where the triangle is, landscaping triangle, and you know, driveway to BMC, and the driveway to the funeral home.
Are there still opportunities in roundabouts to do landscaping? Because I know the one on Tyler Street is more of just an apron, right? There isn't like a garden bed or anything in the middle of it.
No. On Tyler Street, there is a smaller section. The first circle, the smallest one, is a landscaping area.
Okay.
And we have folks like Pittsfield Beautiful that have raised their hand to have an opportunity to maintain that.
Nice. In fact, they always do great work.
Absolutely. Yeah. They are a great partner with the city. They do a lot of work around the city, and we encourage them to continue doing that.
Actually, I'd love to have them on Morning Drive sometime, so I'll have to get a contact from them.
Oh, yeah. So they early on, they reached out to us asking, hey, we want to do something there, but we want to have like a hose bib, or you know, to be able to water our plants and not have to run a hose, you know, across the intersection. It's like, great idea. Let's include it in the plans.
Nice.
So that's, you know, indication of, you know, collaborating with a group like that for future planning.
Yeah. So will the roundabout up on Route 7 be a larger one than the one on Tyler Street?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are in the process of designing that. Mm. It does get a lot of more traffic vehicle for heavier vehicle trucks. That's one of the things. So the truck apron is that's the purpose. It's for trucks to mount it if they're navigating through it. It's not meant to be every single truck that goes through there mounts it, right? So as soon as you start getting more traffic vehicle on the heavier side, longer vehicles, truck vehicles, then you start like thinking, all right, how wide do we need the lanes based on this level of travel?
So it's all spec'd out essentially based on the number of cars and the size of the vehicles that you're expecting.
A lot of hours spent modeling that intersection.
Yeah. Only a few minutes left here on the Morning Drive show. We spent a lot of time on snow, which is reasonable to assume that people would be interested in that. But trash and recycling, another big issue coming up in 2023. What should people expect to know about?
Yeah, so we are, as you know, we had a lot of changes in the transfer station, the old incinerator.
Right.
Casella owns it now. We are expecting to finalize a contract with them this coming year. For the transfer station, they are in the process of erecting a temporary, I call it the intermediate building. It's gonna be the building they have as a temporary structure while they demo and build their final building.
Okay.
And then another aspect that deals with trash and with Casella this year is their curbside contract expires, so we're working today. I have a meeting with a working group and in the regional working group that we're going to be talking about, hey, your contract with curbside hauler is expiring. What's next? What should you be considering? It's a long-term contract, so we have an opportunity to update some of the terms. We have an opportunity to bring in new ideas, new ways of dealing with our trash on the curbside.
So how long do you have before that expires to be able to work
June 30th.
Yeah, so yeah. Full 6 months to work it out.
Yes, we're right in the right time to be dealing with this right now.
Yep. And so could people expect changes to their curbside service after that? Is that all dependent on what you're able to work out?
So the way I see this, everything is going to be in, I think we're going to put everything on the table. What can we do to improve our service? Do we start talking, you know, about toter systems? Much discussed.
Yeah, of course.
Do we start talking about bagging system, pay-as-you-throw options? Do we start talking about other services like textile pickup, organics pickup,
bulky items,
how do we improve that? And now's the time. We have this opportunity. twofold opportunity with the curbside and the transfer station.
Yeah. Will there be any public input sessions or things like that where people can weigh in with their opinions?
All of this will go through the council. It is a multi-year contract, more than 3 years, so it will end up in the city council for public, where the public can be involved.
Great. Well, there you have it. quite a bit coming up on the plate. Probably didn't even scratch the surface of the things coming up in 2023, but we are running out of time. And we just want to remind people again that a little bit later today, you will receive most likely a snow emergency notice from the city of Pittsfield. And that's, again, reminding people that there will be an odd even situation for parking, on-street parking. So 7 p.m., you'll need to switch your vehicle to an odd side of the street for a 24-hour period. 7 p.m. tonight. That's the thing. And so the plows will be out there, and give a tip of your hat to the folks that are plowing your streets for you and keeping them clear so that you can be safe the next day. And be safe out there, everybody. Thanks, Ricardo, for being
here. Thank you for having
me
here.
And we'll see you again, hopefully on a less snowy day. Take care, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on Morning Drive. Thanks again.